Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Our sermon text for today comes from John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he is going to cut off. And he prunes every branch that does bear fruit, so that it will bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I am going to remain in you. A branch cannot bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Likewise, you cannot bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him is the one who bears much fruit, because without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you continue to bear much fruit and prove to be my disciples. This is our text. Brothers and sisters in Christ, if you pass by the school and you see the teacherage that my family and I are living in this year, if you look out front, you can see a garden. Before we got here, some of the members took out a little place in front of the house and they laid out some nice garden fabric and some new mulch on top, and they made a spot for a garden. So whenever we got things all moved in and settled away, my wife and I decided that we would try to plant a garden. We went to one of the local greenhouses and we picked up some different flowers in the fall. We picked up some chrysanthemums and some flowers that are supposed to grow back again this year, some things like irises and some flowering shrubs. But it all looked great back then. It looked great in the fall. But then once winter came around, it all shriveled up and died. Now the garden is just full of dead plants, and I don't really know what to do about it. I knew that the annuals, like the chrysanthemums, would eventually die out, but there are still some things like those irises and shrubs that are supposed to come back this year. But as of now, they just look dead and shriveled. What do I do with these irises? Do I leave them alone, and do they just come back by themselves? And what about these shrubs? Do I have to prune them first, or do I leave them and they'll do the rest of the work? I planted this garden with somewhat high hopes, but in all honesty, I don't really know what I'm doing. I'm not sure if these flowers will grow back and thrive, or if they'll just stay shriveled and dead. In our sermon text for today, our Lord Jesus compares us to branches on a vine, tended by a gardener. He explains that he himself is the true vine, we are the branches, and God the Father is the gardener. But in God's garden, things are not left up to chance. God knows exactly what he's doing, and he knows how these branches will bear fruit. Good fruit is only produced if those branches are connected to Christ, the one true vine. Those who do not remain on the vine do not produce good fruit, and they perish. But those who remain on the vine will prosper and thrive. Our text begins with Jesus simply stating that he is the one true vine and God the Father is the gardener. He says that God the gardener will cut off every branch that does not produce good fruit. Our Savior says that God will cut off anyone who is not producing good works through Jesus. These branches may appear to be connected to the vine, but they're getting their energy from somewhere else, one source other than the one true vine. These branches, these people, are people that you may know. These people may seem like they have everything perfect. Their lives may be going great, but where are they connected to? These people may have their families perfectly in line. They may have what seems to be great day after great day. Maybe they give all their time and money to those less fortunate than themselves. Maybe these people are blessed financially. Their lives just seem to be one endless stream of rainbows and happiness. But yet again, where is their help coming from? What vine are they connected to? Well, look around and see what drives them. Is it their need for validation? Is it their own selfish pride? Are they hiding behind a facade that masks their own dirty secrets and sins? There are plenty of vines that a branch can connect to. But unless they're connected to Jesus, the one true vine, all these seemingly good works that they do are garbage. Those who do not remain on the one true vine are thrown away and withered. The seemingly good things that they do won't save them. Those who do not produce good works in connection with Jesus will be thrown into the fire and burned. Even branches that are connected to the one true vine are in danger of withering if they do not receive nourishment from the vine. And this is not a problem with the vine, this is the problem with the branch. This is the branch refusing to receive the good things from the vine. If we are connected to Jesus and making full use of his word and sacraments, Jesus says we will grow. Jesus says you cannot bear fruit unless you remain in me. If we look for another vine to connect to, or if we refuse to repent to our Father in heaven, we will surely wither and die. And some of these other vines surely look promising. Instead of going to church, we can think, oh, I'll sleep in this time and then I'll go to church next week. We can say that so easily, week after week, and just keep pushing these things further back. After you keep saying, I'm going to sleep in, you can eventually say, I don't need to go to church at all. I'll just read the Bible here at home. But the more you say that, you can say that over and over, and then that Bible on the nightstand gathers dust. You don't even open a single page, and the excuses keep coming. The cycle continues, and then all of a sudden you're convinced you don't need God at all. You don't feel sorry, and you don't ask for forgiveness for the sins that you've committed. The previously thriving branch connected to the one true vine of Christ has become a withered up bundle of shriveled up fruits lying rotten on the ground. Obviously, this doesn't happen in a moment's notice. It may take a while, but slowly and surely, God's word is made less and less of a priority, and once faithful Christians turn into people who look at Christ as a stranger. When you're young, it can seem so easy to remain strong in God's word. Whether it's because your parents bring you to church every Sunday, or there's just a lot less going on in your life. But then the days get busier, and you have a lot to do. Things start getting tough, and you try to cut out things that you think you don't need. God's word always seems to be at the top of the list for men. Think of all those in your congregation that you were confirmed with. Think of all those confirmands that stood up with you and made a promise to the Lord that you would stay strong and faithful in his word. How many still go to church with you? How many still go to church at all? How many still believe in Jesus? My confirmation class was fairly small, but the point still remains. As far as I know, I'm the only one that still has faith. Is that you? Are you one of the few left, the seemingly odd ones out? What keeps you coming back to church week after week? Do we worship in some million-dollar building that has all the amenities? Do our lives just go absolutely perfect and we have no troubles at all? Of course not. You worship your Lord here week after week because you are still connected to the one true vine. And our Savior says that he will remain in those who remain on the vine. And he promises that they will thrive. In our first lesson from Acts, we read about the Jerusalem congregation's works of faith. We see that they shared their possessions with one another, and they gave money to the Lord and to the church. And this wasn't to give glory to themselves. Verse 33 says, abundant grace was on all of them. We know that apart from Jesus, we can do nothing good at all. We can do none of these good works by ourselves. But the Lord was pleased with the good fruits that were produced by his children because they were connected to the one true vine of Christ. Jesus, the one true vine, enabled them to do these good works that please the Father in heaven. In verse 5 of our text for our sermon, Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him is the one who bears much fruit, because without me, you can do nothing. To some, the words, without me, you can do nothing, may seem kind of disappointing. By nature, we want to do everything all by ourselves. We think that we can do all these good works if I just try hard enough and keep trying my best. But these words are not a disappointment. These words keep us strong. We put our hope in these words because we know that by ourselves we can do nothing. Our good works do not come by our own doing. Rather, we bear much fruit because our Lord Jesus enables us to do so. We are justified by faith in Christ, and we are given Christ's righteousness in the eyes of God the Father. We are declared not guilty for the sins we have committed. We are justified freely by our Lord's grace. And we are free to produce these good fruits that please our Lord. Jesus tells us that God the gardener prunes these branches to bear much fruit, to make them bear even more fruit. The Holy Spirit has created faith in your hearts, and he continually strengthens it. We remain children of God through the Holy Spirit when we were given faith. And this faith remains inscribed in our hearts. And God's own commandments remain inscribed on our hearts. The Holy Spirit renews us and sanctifies us and makes us holy in God's sight. We are purified and we are able to please our Lord. Because we are grafted onto the one true vine, we live our lives of sanctification and we are able to produce good fruits. And through this sanctification, these good works continue to increase and grow as we live our lives for our Lord, not for ourselves, but for our Heavenly Father. Referring to this account, Luther wrote that these branches may not understand why or how certain branches are pruned or cut off. We may not understand why we are going through troubles in this life. Our plans may not always line up with God's plans, or they may not happen exactly when we want them to. But the suffering that we endure here on earth is not harm to us. These troubles that we go through are not going to kill us. These troubles make us stronger. These troubles help us to put our faith in our Savior rather than ourselves. The Father may allow difficult times to enter our lives, but these troubles are not to destroy us. They are to build us up and enable us to bear better fruits. The gardener prunes the branches for their good, knowing that the vine will give them everything that they need. Although I'm frankly quite clueless when it comes to my garden, I'm thankful that in the end it doesn't really matter if my garden looks immaculate. If you know anything about how to tend to a garden, please let me know. I need the help. Thankfully, when it comes to producing good fruits in our lives, we do not need to rely on ourselves. We have full confidence that if we are connected to the true vine, we will produce good fruits. And if we are connected to our Savior and strengthened by the Holy Spirit, we will continue to produce good fruits for our Lord. These fruits will please the Father. Praise our Lord Jesus Christ, that he remains in us and we remain in him, because of his wonderful death and resurrection, grafting us to the one true vine. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.